Hello, everyone, and welcome to Managed Healthcare Executives Monthly Tuning into the C-Suite podcast. In this podcast series, editors of MHE chat with healthcare professionals and executives in the C-Suite. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery and organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi everyone, I'm Brianna Contreras, an editor with Managed Healthcare Executive, and in this episode, I had the pleasure of meeting Lauren McCahey, Director of Consulting, Health, and Consumer Engagement and Product Insight at Accenture. Lauren and I discussed Accenture's latest report on U.S. consumers switching healthcare providers and insurance payers, where he provided some context on the data explaining the two consumer surveys that were conducted in 2023. One of those surveys were on payer experiences and the other on patient experiences. Lauren shared that ease of interaction rather than clinical experience is a primary reason for switching. He stressed that the importance of building trust through positive experiences and meeting patient needs digitally, starting with basic functionalities, could help patient turnover. Hello, Lauren. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for taking the time today to be on an episode of Tuning into the C-Suite podcast.
All right. I'm happy to be here.
All right. So for our first question, and what we'll be speaking about mainly today is Accenture's latest reports, which according to data from that report, can you share how many U.S. consumers switched healthcare providers and health insurance payers in the past or plans? Yeah. I'm sorry, but
yeah. So maybe start with a little bit of context on the research, which then I think will put it into some context. So the report refers to comes out of two different consumer surveys that we did in 2023. One being a survey around consumers' experience with their payers. So in that survey, pretty extensive. We've done this survey in some form or fashion since about 2013. And it usually includes around 10,000 consumers. It was 9,800-ish consumers last year. Which includes both sort of national data as well as sort of targeted data for, specific payers that are either clients or, are part of like who we want to benchmark. And so in that survey, so that's focused on, insured consumers and the relationship with payers. The other survey that, that this is a part of is our patient experience survey, which is focused on people's relationship with their provider. And in that survey, it was over 8,000 consumers, and it was all consumers who had had some form of healthcare in the prior 12 months. And so those two pieces, those two surveys were all part of that. And in those surveys and how it sort of relates to this information, we look at people across the journey. So we ask them questions about all the different journey points that they had access to. And then we look at, how does that affect switching? How does that affect, things like net promoter score? How does that affect all kinds of different metrics and what drives that? So what drives satisfaction and what drives switching, et cetera. So that's the context of the sort of the two data points that, or the two data positions that we started with within that. So back to your question, what we've seen in this last survey, and I'll sort of split the answer into two. On the provider side, what we've seen is around 18% of consumers of patients switched providers because of an experience they had with that provider. So it was not they had to go to a different doctor. They switched because of something that caused them to switch. That's almost, one in five patients switched for that reason. On the payer side, the people who chose to switch is closer to one in 10, which I think is a pretty consistent number. back to that payer number or back to the provider number, the interesting thing that we found is that that number has gone from it's basically returned to pre-COVID numbers. So we previously saw numbers around right around this number in our 2017 version. In 2021, it was about 10 points higher in terms of this, and now it's sort of returned. So it's been an interesting flow on the patient side, as we kind of got through COVID. Now we're back to sort of where we were prior to the pandemic.
Great, thank you. Thanks for sharing some of the background too of the report. I appreciate that. But yeah, that's a fascinating number that it kind of went back to pre-COVID numbers. Yeah. So thank you. And you touched a bit on some of the reasons why patients are leaving their plans or providers. Are you able to share maybe a few of like the primary reasons they are leaving their current healthcare providers?
It's this is and this is where I think it's really interesting, and actually what seems to be the most surprising when we take this information to providers, because a lot of our provider clients and things will think, well, people leave because of their clinical experience. The reality is, the primary reason people leave or cite as a factor of leaving is just their basic experience. Just it was a challenge to work with this provider. I had problems with the front desk. I didn't have a good way, like especially with more digital consumers. I couldn't make appointments online. I couldn't do some of the basic types of things online. So that sort of ease of navigation with providers, in our data shows it's like a 2x factor in why people switched providers versus the clinical experience, or even more so from the access. So while obviously clinical experience is important, it's almost like table stakes, right? People expect that, but why they and we see this being even more and more of a factor with younger consumers is the that ease of navigation and how easy it is to work with that provider being a primary driver of switching on the provider side.
So you'd say you're seeing it more probably within like the younger consumers then in that population.
Yeah, it's a pretty significant difference. If I remember that, it's like 6x difference. Where in older consumers, let's put it, they're more settled with their providers. They've had the same providers for a long time, et cetera, and so they sort of know what to expect. When you get to a newer consumer or a younger person who's sort of navigating that system for the first time, or for they're relatively new to the system, that ease of navigation in that system becomes more and more important, as your level of experience overall declines. And that this holds true for both, payers and providers, that, the more experience you have in time, right, or in frequency, the level of that, the importance of that experience as a ease of use and navigation tends to decline slightly. Right. So that becomes really, really important. And so, we see that as, as providers and payers both are thinking about, those what now are primary generations out there in the workforce, et cetera, improving that experience. They're starting to move into, the time when they need that care. And so making that experience, easy for them, easy to navigate in our very complex healthcare system is really, really important.
Of course, thank you. Now, what are the top factors that influence patients when selecting a new healthcare provider?
And this is what's interesting, right? Because while experience is a driver of switching, access becomes a primary driver of selection, right? So, because I need, to, like, if I'm just going to pick a doctor, I haven't had any experience yet, right? So, that ability to have convenient hours, right? It does it match my schedule? Can I get to a provider? Can I get an appointment easily, especially online for more digital consumers? You know, what are those initial interactions? Can I get convenient care? Is virtual care available, et cetera? So that access as a driver of selection becomes critically important. And then, you know, secondarily, which some people think would be primarily, that someone referred me to that person, right? So trusted source is important, but it's not nearly as important as the ability to access. And that we've seen, and I think we'll continue to see, as the healthcare system becomes more challenging to access, we would likely see that becoming even more and more important as a selection factor, right? Because is it, you know, we've all seen the challenges in being able to access the system becoming, you know, increasing. You know, that becomes more and more important. And that actually does have a knock-on effect to how people feel about their payer. So we think about that as primarily a provider experience, you know, driver. But if I have health insurance and the network that I'm trying to access, I have challenges accessing, that starts to have a knock-on effect on how I feel about my health insurance. Do I have that same perception of the value of that insurance if I'm having trouble accessing the network you've given me? So there is a knock-on effect, right, between people's ability to access their provider network, their providers, to how they feel about their payer.
Got it. Okay. Now, how important are access, ease of doing business, digital engagement, and trust in meeting patient expectations, according to the research?
Yeah, you know, ease of doing business has really consistently been one of the most important things, and that really does have a, you know, ease of working together, or ease of use, which really is sort of corollary to, you know, the idea of access, right? So that ease of use, and what's really interesting there that we've seen, and you see it in both on the payer and the patient side, the huge difference between being very easy to use and just somewhat easy to use. So when we look at the data, that data, we think about it on a 4-point scale, right? So from very difficult to very easy, and going from that level four of being very easy to go to, you know, level three of just somewhat easy has a huge impact in how people feel about their insurance. So, you know, so for example, in loyalty with a provider, that's a 5x difference, right? If I go from being very easy to just easy, right? That's a 5x difference in with how that affects loyalty. So, huge difference. Payer, it's, you know, not quite as stark. It's about a 2x difference, but it's still a pretty stark difference. And we see that, you know, across a lot of these metrics, that getting to that, you know, it's sort of that old, you know, excellent, how important is it to be excellent or just good, right? So I need to ha re achieve that top level in order to really make sure I'm going to maintain that level of loyalty, whether that's loyalty, you know, or even, you know, continued engagement. So we see that as really, really important. The other thing you touched on there is trust, right? And we see trust as becoming, you know, increasingly important. I mean, it's always been important, but as we start thinking about different ways of engaging and trying to move people from, you know, always in person or live types of engagement to digital or even AI types of engagement, and trust becomes increasingly important. And, you know, I started to think about trust into this sort of a three-way cycle of trust, right? Which sort of goes from, you know, engagement. So you have to get somebody engaged, period, to get them to trust. So that's where access and things like that become important, right? Because if I can't engage at all with somebody, then, you know, I have no opportunity to build trust. So engagement's important. And then that experience when I do engage, being like the critical, a critical piece of that. And depending on how that experience goes, It's either going to build trust or decrease trust. So, everybody starts with a baseline, right, of trust, and that baseline is variable by person, by entity, by reputation, by lots of things. And so that, every experience that somebody has, with an entity, whether that's a provider or a pay or a payer, is going to either increase that level of trust or decrease that level of trust, depending on how that engagement goes. And so we think about that as really important. And so trust becomes really, really critical. Say, and especially if we try to move to digital. So for example, when let's just take millennials and Gen Xers who are most likely to be digitally engaged with their providers and payers. That's because they're in that cycle of they are using and they're also digital. A high degree of trust with either, and it doesn't matter if it's a payer or a provider, has a 3x multiplier on someone's likely to be highly digitally engaged. So the more I trust you, the more willing I am to work with you digitally, whether that's through apps or online channels or virtual care or any of that, that's a digital engagement, chats, bots or anything, is really engaged. So that really sort of hits home on this as we're trying to move people into more digital engagement, whether that's making appointments online or getting their questions answered online from a payer or engaging in health programs that are online and digitally driven or digital first types of things, or some of the new digital first types of payer products that are out there where you need to go out and look to see whether or not your what your copay is going to be depending on a tier provider structure or whatever. Any of that transparency stuff that's digitally driven depends on trust, people willing one willingness to use it as a important trust factor, and then how they're going to believe it. So, and, because a digital channel to get questions answered is only as good as people being able to trust the answer they get, because if they're going to call anyways, which may or may not be something you're trying to do, but if they're going to call anyways, at least from a operational cost factor, you sort of defeated the purpose there. So it's that level of trust being really, really important. So that this cycle of experience and trust. And the more experience you and trust you have, the more you likely are to be engaged. So that's why we see that this cycle between engagement, experience, and trust, and how that drives further engagement. It either spirals up or it spirals down, depending on how that experience is. Digital engagement, if done right, can be a reinforcer, right? So of that that whole both ease of use and trust, right? So, and we see that in, and this is probably a little bit of a chicken and egg, but highly digital people are more likely to be loyal. They are more likely to trust. They have higher ease of use scores. Now, whether that's, the digital driving that or the people who, my perception would be the people who feel like it's easier to use or have more trust are more likely to be highly digital. So I don't, so digital is either a reinforcer of that if it's done well, or it's a, an impediment to that getting better, right? So it's really, we see digital engagement being increasingly important for, both for the consumers and for the entity, healthcare organizations, and increasingly, hopefully, in helping people navigate, right? We have a very complex healthcare system, right? So the ability to leverage digital channels that are convenient, et cetera, to help people navigate their care, it's another tool, right, that helps people and a tool that's available to people all the time instead of just during office hours, which as we know, convenience is very important to a lot of people, depending on where they are in their life, right? So, So we do think that is, is really, really important, and we see increased utilization, but it's important that those digital engagement channels do the basics right before you try to do something fancy, right? So we see a lot of we've seen a lot of focus on, well, we need to build in these chat things, we need to build in new AI tools or things like that. We need to do all these things, right? We're going to add all these things into our digital engagement components. But at the end of the day, if people can't do the basics, right? If they can't, if it's not easy for them to schedule their appointment, right? If they're going to a provider or see the results of some tests that they got, if it's not easy to do the basics, then you have not won the right to do something fancy. Right, same on the payer side, right? We, and I think if you talk to any payers out there, they'll say their digital adoption is low. Well, why is it low? Well, one, people, it's a sort of a chicken and egg thing, right? People need to be able to find the basics of what they need, before they're willing to try, something else, right? We need to make sure that people's experience on the basic things gets done right, so that then they are willing to do the more complicated care navigation, trusted advisor types of things that we really want them to be able to do.
Thank you. And you already mentioned, as you just said, you've mentioned a few tips or suggestions as to how to improve or better enhance engagement and trust just across, all forms in this discussion. So for my last question, if you can share any more, tips or solutions, I guess, how can healthcare providers and payers improve their services to reduce patient turnover and enhance that trust we've been talking about?
And I think that the important things to remember are, we need to as payers and providers are thinking about this, right? They need to think about that foundation of experience, right? So you need to start from a foundation of, what's that experience model going to be? Putting myself in the shoes of the person who's going to experience that, and in order to do that, right, in order to be able to understand, you need to have a core of data, right? You need to understand who people are, and not just who they are, but what are the characteristics that drive them to be in different places in their life, their mindset, right? We just to think about it in terms of mindsets. So you need to have data to be able to understand, is this the, is this somebody who, is highly understanding of their, is this, of their both their healthcare situation and how to navigate? Is this somebody who doesn't, right? What's their ability to navigate the system? What's their, where are they in their healthcare journey? Are they journeying, going through this journey as a patient or as a caregiver, right? So, having a core of information and data on the people that you're dealing with, as an entity, is critical, and that enables you to build, an experience operating model around that. And then, thinking about then, how do I, then create that to a connected journey to where people are in their lives, right? So how do I engage them proactively where they are in a, non-creepy or invasive type of way, right? How do I engage them proactively? How do I balance, depending on that person, that human interaction versus the, digital or machine, quote unquote, machine interaction, right? So how do I balance that and navigate that, for different people, and completely understanding this can't be a one size model, and so we need to really think about, how are we going to engage people where they are in their life, and think of it as a life-centric type of, experience for that person.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Lauren. that is all I had for you, but if there's anything, you'd like to share on this topic or on Accenture's annual report that we didn't discuss, please feel free to do so.
Yeah, I mean, I think we hit on the sort of the key points, but I think it's really important, the takeaways, for me on this sort of thing are, one, really and keeping that a people-centric approach, a human-centered viewpoint of healthcare is really, really important. So understanding who people are, building that, data and understanding of people, capturing that throughout, people's life cycle, understanding where somebody was 5 years ago is not maybe where they are today, and understanding why someone's there, why someone's engaging, as a way to help build that trust. So sort of that building that foundation of understanding of people, and then thinking about how do I connect those things in a way and creating experiences that build that cycle of trust that, cr make it easy for people to work with me, whoever I am, right? So that, sort of those core basics of thinking about that, what's that foundation I need to build on? What's that experience that I'm going to create that builds that trust, that makes it easy for people to work with me? And then when I've done those things, how do I, use that as a way to leapfrog into the kinds of things that I want to do around digital engagement and, eventually as we move into a more, Gen AI and other types of drivers, giving all having those basics of trust there, gives me the license and the credibility to be able to build into these things that we, know we're going to need to as we, and products and things like that evolve.
Thanks for tuning into this month's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit us at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.